We'll sing hymn number 37. Hymn number 37.
Consider all the worlds thy hands have made. Mark chapter 7. Continue going through the book of Mark here. Read the first 13 verses out of Mark chapter 7. You know that line in there that says, when I thank God, His Son not sparing. He bled and died to take away my sin. If Christ died to take away your sin, then you ain't got it. It's gone. When He takes away sin, it's gone forever. Never to be remembered against you again. But now we're conscious of our sin, but God's not. God, you know, He sent His Son to take away sin. And everything He did once. Once He appeared in the end of the world. Once He put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. He didn't have to do anything twice. That's the kind of Lord we know. That's the kind of God we worship. And one of these days, Christ is going to come. And oh my, what a shout's going to hear. This world's going to hear. And then we'll meet Him. And we'll bow, as that old song says, in humble adoration. And declare, my God, how great Thou art. Oh, what a blessing. Our past is taken care of. Our present's taken care of. And our future's taken care of. That's a pretty good life, ain't it? Pretty good life. All right. Let me read these first 13 verses. Then came together unto Him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of His disciples eat bread with undefiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels and tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked Him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah the prophet prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but the heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And He said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curses father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, If a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition which you have delivered, and many such like things do ye. Our blessed God and Father, by Lord Jesus Christ, here we are again coming into your presence. Coming into your presence as a body of believers, as a group of men and women who've gathered here this morning to worship you, to honor you, to glorify you, preach your blessed word. And Lord, please, as for Christ's sake, come among us. Come down in power. Come down and give us your presence. Come down and walk among us. Oh, may Christ be made known today. May a heart be exposed today. May someone's understanding be enlightened today. May some ears that's deaf hear today. May some heart that's stony, may it be taken out and the heart of flesh put in its place. Lord, these are things that you can do, only you can do. Lord, I'll do what you've called me to do. I'll stand here and I'll preach and deal with your precious word. But Lord, if anything's done, you'll have to do it. But Lord, we do pray for our lost loved ones again. Please ask your mercy for them. Oh, please be merciful. Oh, our children, grandchildren. No, they'll even, if you enter their mind, I don't know it. Oh, God, they never speak of you, never talk of you, never ask a question about you. Oh, Lord, have mercy on them. Create in them a need, where they are right now. Go by the Holy Spirit. Stir up their hearts, their minds. Put the fear of God in them. Put the fear of God in them. And do it for Christ's sake. Honor yourself today in this service. In His holy and blessed name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand together as we sing the hymn of the day on the back of the bulletin. be seated.
I remember a deacon, an elder, that used to be at 13th Street. He'd been there for some years, and he's on his way on a trip one day, and the Lord opened his heart, and he said, you know, he said, I never had saw Christ dying for my sin. And he is in that car and listened to a message, and he's seen that Christ bore his sin. And he made a profession way up in his years. He said, you know, I've been in this church all these years and never knew Christ. I had to see him dying for me. And that's what that song's about. When you see him taking your place, not somebody else's, yours. And that's why we love preaching the gospel. Phil asked me the other day, he said, are you all Baptists? And I said, yes, we are. He said, what's the difference in a Southern Baptist and you? He said, you're Calvinist, ain't you? And I said, we are. I said, the difference is that you think that man's left up to his own salvation. He can make a decision. He can get on an altar. He can pray through, or he can join a church. And we believe, and I preach, that salvation's of the Lord. All I can do is tell men what God said and leave the rest to Him. Because I know full well if a man left to his own free will, he'll go to hell. He'll perish. But if God breaks in up on him and Christ died for him, something's going to happen. Mark it down. You're going to see him hanging on that tree, and it's going to trouble your heart, and you're not going to get no rest until you understand that he did that for you. All right, let me deal with this message today. And I want to talk about bad lips and sorry hearts. Bad lips and bad hearts. Bad lips and heart. And that'd get my text from right there in verse 6. He answered and said unto them, well, and that word Isaiah is Isaiah, prophesied of you hypocrites. That's the first thing he told them, you hypocrites. And this is what Isaiah said about you. It is written, and this is from Isaiah 29:13, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now that's what Isaiah said about these folks 700 years before Christ even came. And look in verse 1. Let me start here in verse 1 and deal with this. Then came together unto him Pharisees and certain scribes which came from Jerusalem. Now, you know, the Pharisees were already there, but God, they know it says certain scribes which came from Jerusalem. They came all the way from Jerusalem. Somebody, no doubt, had sent them down there to talk and watch and tempt the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's 90 miles from Jerusalem here where they are. So these fellas are interested in belittling and finding some fault and being able to accuse our Lord of something. And they encountered the Lord Jesus Christ here, and they came together. And I tell you what, they encountered the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know how many times they encountered the Lord early in His ministry? They encountered Him, and every time they did, they found something wrong with Him. Every single time they found something wrong with Him. And you know, and they encountered Him on 6 different occasions. You know, when they let down that man through the roof and he said, son, thy sins are forgiven thee. The first thing they said, who can forgive sins but God only? So they found fault with him right there, confronted him right there. Who in the world can forgive? You can't forgive sins. He said, oh, I can. They want you to know. Well, I'm going to tell you how I'm going to prove it to you. Get out of your bed and get out of that bed and walk out of here. And he did. And oh, here's the second thing they found that they did the second time. He said, he's the friend of publicans and sinners. Oh, what an awful accusation. What an awful accusation. He's a friend of publicans and sinners. And oh, the third thing was, they come to him and they said, why do your disciples fast not? Everybody, all the rest of us are fasting all the time. Why don't your disciples do it? He said, they don't have to as long as they're with me. I take care of everything they need. Said, when I'm not here, they will. And then the fourth thing is, and oh, they did this so many times. Your disciples break the Sabbath. The Sabbath, you know, is to them and a lot of people, the Sabbath is a special occasion. For the Jews, it started on Saturday night, Friday night at 6 o'clock, lasted till 6 o'clock Sunday, Saturday evening. But oh my, there's a lot of people today call Sunday the Sabbath. But all the Sabbath was, and your disciples, they break the Sabbath. They get out here and do things on the Sabbath they ought not do. They'll play basketball, play baseball. And oh, you ought not do that. Whatever you do, sit in your house and don't make a move doing nothing. Don't do anything. And that's what they was teaching. And then the fifth thing was, you know, they accused our Lord Jesus Christ when He'd heal somebody on the Sabbath day. They found fault with it. They said, boy, you broke the Sabbath. You broke the Sabbath. And then the sixth thing they accounted and confronted Him with is when they saw Him casting out devils, which He did earlier in this book of Mark. They said, you cast out devils by the prince of devils, Beelzebub. They accused Him Himself of being a devil, casting out devils by devils. But here they're not, you know, and from chapter 4 through verse 6, the Pharisees and scribes are not mentioned at all. But here they come. Here they come. Here they come. Pharisees. You know what a Pharisee is? That word Pharisee means someone separated. It was a religious sect. And that's what we'd call a fundamentalist today or a legalist today. That's what a Pharisee is. Fundamentalist or a legalist. And then there were the scribes. And the scribes, they came all the way from Jerusalem down here. The law scribes were what you'd call a law specialist. Specialized in the law. Not the law, all of Moses' law. They studied it. They interpreted it. They taught the law, the Old Testament. And then they ended up, after a while, they ended up taking all the things that they had taught and ended up making traditions with them. And look what it says here in verse 2 and 3. So they came from Jerusalem, and when they saw some of His disciples eat bread with undefiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and the Jews, except they wash their hands often, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. Now here's the issue here. There's two issues here. The issue here is not hygiene. We wash our hands. If I handle my dog, I wash my hands before I do anything else. When I get ready to eat, you know, my mother-in-law used to say, go wash your hands. Supper's on the table and you wash your hands. But that's not what they're talking about here. You know, these fellas don't wash their hands before they eat. They're talking about the issue here is law keeping. It's law keeping. Holiness. The issue is here holiness. Not hygiene. Law keeping. Tradition. Eating unwashed hands. And look what it says there in verse 2. Defile, that is to say, with unwashed hands, that they might find fault. That they might find fault. This is not Scripture. This is not Scripture. Oh my. But tradition. But tradition. And oh my. This was not, they were more concerned about what they considered sin in somebody else's life than they did their own. They didn't care about Scripture, they cared about their tradition. They didn't care about God, they cared about their tradition. They didn't care about what those fellows was doing, their tradition. And they find fault. Now let me tell you something about finding fault. Now if you want to find fault with me, I've got lots and lots. You know, you got lots of ammunition to work with. You got lots of it to work with. Our Lord, how many times did He teach? He said, you know, said you got a mote in your eye, and a fellow with a great big beam in his, he comes, I see that little old mote in there. Oh my, what about that beam in your eye? And that's what with this teaching things like that. And I tell you what, you strain it a gnat and swallow a camel. And that's what these fellows was doing. They was finding fault. And God have mercy on people that go around finding fault all the time. Oh my. You know, if you, oh my, you can find plenty to find fault in me. But listen, but here's the thing. We can find fault with one another if we want to do that. But to find fault with the Lord Jesus Christ Himself? To come and say find fault with Him? Now that's what these men were doing. They came 90 miles to find fault with the Lord Jesus Christ. How can you find fault with the Lord Jesus Christ? But they did. They did. They found fault with Him. And oh, their accusation. Why do your disciples eat with unwashed hands? For the Pharisees don't do that. We don't do that. We wash. And I tell you, look what they said here. And oh, except they come from the market. They wash their hands often. Often. Holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come back from town, and that market says come back from town, when they, that's where people went all the time to buy things. And they eat not. Many other things they be which they have received to hold as the washing of cups and vessels, pots, brazen and table. So whenever they went to town, first thing they did, they went back and I mean they scrubbed. It's like a surgeon, you know. They went all the way up to the elbow is what the margin says. Went up, I mean they washed. And then when they got home, before they touched anything else, they washed it too. I mean you talking about... My father-in-law, you say sharper than the hound's tooth and cleaner than the board of health. That's the way these fellas was. Oh, I'm telling you what. You know, I've been to town. I might have touched a Pharisee. I mean, I may have touched a Gentile. I may have sat someplace where some Gentile sat down and was nasty, unclean, like an old dog. Lay down with a dog. That's what they thought when you got around Gentile. So they got it back in there and they just went to washing. Get that cup before you touch it. Wash it. Get that table, right? Burn that table. Clean that table up. Oh my. They found fault with Christ. Why do your disciples walk not according to the tradition of the elders? And oh my, and then they said in verse 5, then the Pharisees and scribes asked him. If you want answer to a question, ask the Lord Jesus Christ. I told somebody the other day, said, when you want to know what the Bible has to say, ask questions of it. Ask questions. And that's what these fellows said, asked him. If you want to know, if you ask Christ anything, you'll get the answer. You ask the Scripture something, you'll get the answer. Look what he said here now. And he answered and said unto them. But now he was giving an answer they didn't like very well. Look, he said, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, and their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Now let's see exactly what Isaiah 29 says. Go over to Isaiah 29. Look what verse 13 says. It's Isaiah 29:13. Just exactly what's said over here. Oh, our Lord, they encountered Him and He answers them. He answers their objection, their fault-finding, their tradition. And oh my, and you know what? Instead of answering them according to the tradition, He answered them according to the Scriptures. They said, we got the tradition of the elders, He said, but I'm going to tell you what God said. And look what He said in verse 13. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. And that's what our Lord's telling them. Oh my. And you know it here says here, and they're talking about the way he says me, they honor me with their lips and with their heart. And he says, showing how it's me that you're not worshiping. It's me. It's me and them. It's me and those people against me. And when you hear Christ talking about me, he said, there's me, and this is the way they are. The way they are. And you know, our Lord Jesus Christ, most scribes and Pharisees hated the Lord Jesus Christ. Hated Him with a passion. And this shows that right here. Now I'll give you five reasons why they hated the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, men's born with a hatred for God. Believe me, they are. They don't like God. I remember it as a teenager. And I remember when I was in Vietnam, I had a great, great enmity in my heart toward God, toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Great enmity. Great enmity. And the Lord beat that down in me. Lord, by mercy, save me from all the things I said about Him and the way I talked about Him and the way I spoke to Him and spoke about Him. But the Lord had mercy on me. But there's five reasons why they hated Him. First of all, He claimed to have all the power that God Almighty has. He claimed to have God's power. He said, I and my Father are one. He had the prerogative of God Almighty to do what He will, with when He will, and who He will. And they didn't like that. And that's why they said He makes Himself equal with God. The second thing that they hated Him for, He didn't honor their traditions. They talked about their traditions. He answered with the Scriptures. He didn't honor their traditions. He didn't honor their Sabbath days. He didn't honor their fast. That's why they said, we wash and you don't. We fast and you don't. We got traditions and you don't. You don't follow them. And oh, I'll tell you what, and this is another reason they hate Him. Why does your Master eat with publicans and sinners? Don't He know what kind of people they are? Don't He know that they're bad people? If you touch a sinner, you become a sinner. If you touch somebody unclean, you become unclean. Oh my, they hated Him for that. And I'll tell you what, and then fourthly, they hated Him because they had too much influence on the people. They said, why? They said, this, the whole world's going after Him. And the Scripture says they were moved with envy. Crowds followed Him wherever He went. And they didn't like that. When they turned up at church services, they'd have just a handful of people. But when Christ come into town, multitudes followed to Him. Said, oh my. Whoever said, we're Moses' disciples. I don't know where this fella come from. And oh my. And I'll tell you, fifth reason why they hate Him, because He was exactly opposite to them. They were unholy and they were traditionists. And our Lord Jesus Christ was holy. They were mean. He was gentle. Oh my. He was the very opposite of what they are. And I tell you what, in the heart of Christ's enemies, they realized that He was infinitely better than they were. His humility. Look at His humility. And look at their pomposity. Like right here. Finding fault with Him. Huh? His sincerity and His sympathy and their cruelty. Oh, they were so cruel. They laid burdens on men and wouldn't lift one finger to take them off of them. And wouldn't do it themselves. And I tell you what, He says, your worship, in verse 7, He says, howbeit in vain do they worship me. Vain, useless worship. That's what that means. In vain, useless worship. They worship me, teaching. They're teaching something. They got something to say. But it's the doctrines of men. It's the doctrines of men. Oh, it's useless. And there's two reasons why it's useless. First, the attitude of their heart was wrong. Oh, they came there to find fault. They came there to see everything that He was doing wrong, everything His disciples was doing wrong. The attitude of the heart was wrong. That's the first thing. That's what the gospel deals. It deals with heart issues. It don't deal with time. It deals with eternal things. It don't deal with time and space. It deals with things of eternity, eternal bound souls. We're looking at things into eternity. We're dealing with human beings, but yet God, the gospel deals with the issues of the heart. And two issues that man has to face. First of all, his own sinfulness. Oh my, that's your problem. That's man's problem. He's born a sinner, he'll live a sinner, and he'll die a sinner unless God intervenes. That's the first issue a fellow's got. And the second issue he's got to face, who Jesus Christ is, and He's the only one that can put away sin. And you'll either ignore Christ, like these people did, worship Him in vain, or else you'll do like them disciples did, you'll follow Him. No middle ground. Christ and sin, those are the two issues. People want to make heaven and hell the issue. Christ and sin's the issue. And God makes you a sinner, you will not rest until you get to Christ. You'll seek Him at home, you'll seek Him in the bed, you'll seek Him in the morning, you'll seek Him all day long, and you will not rest in your soul until you find and you come to Christ. Huh? Sin, sin, sin. You say, well, I'm not bad. Well, you don't know how God sees you. Oh, listen. Somebody's got to put away my sin. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. And oh, my. And then look what he said. He called them up here back in verse 6. Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? Hypocrites. You know what a hypocrite... And the second thing is, before I get to that, their attitude of their heart is wrong, and their emphasis is wrong. Tradition versus the Scripture. They'd rather have their tradition as what God said than what God said. And then He says, you hypocrites. You know what a hypocrite is? Our Lord Jesus Christ is sincere. Our Lord Jesus Christ is holy. Infinitely holy. And Christ is sincere. He is true. His word is truth. He's God's faithful witness. But the word hypocrite means an actor. It's the Greek word for actors. And you know those actors would get up and they'd wear a mask. If it was a sad play, they'd put on sad mask. If it was a happy play, they'd put on happy mask. If they was angry, they'd put on an angry mask, showing that they was angry. And hypocrisy is acting. That's exactly what it is. Hypocrisy is these fellows are play acting right here. Play acting right here. Oh my. Hypocrisy is acting. They don't believe, here's what they're acting like, and here they are, they don't believe they're sinners. They're acting like they're not sinners. They're acting like there's nothing wrong with them. But everything's wrong with Christ. Everything's wrong with their disciples. But there's nothing wrong with them. They got their mask on. They got their mask on. Their faith is an act. Their faith is an act. How many people has a faith that's an act? Huh? Just put on like I got some faith. Act like I got some faith. I may not have none of it at all, but I want folks to believe I got it. And then their repentance is an act. Neither one of these folks did not look to Christ and Christ alone. Oh my. Oh my. How many people wear a mask? Oh my soul, how many people wear a mask? Oh my. Traditions. Then he says, you hold the traditions. They talked about holding the tradition of the elders. You know what a tradition is? It's man-made rules. That's what it is. Man-made rules. Teaching. Man-made rules. Man-made teaching. Man-made rituals. And whatever's taught in the Bible is absolutely misinterpreted. Oh my. Traditions, man-made rules, man-made teaching. Man, and that's what these fellows, why did they transgress the tradition of the elders. These folks have been doing this for generations. Daddy did it. Mama did it. Granny did it. Aunt and uncle did it. Didn't I tell you what? We've been doing this all our lives. And that's what happens when people, when they start hearing the gospel. The first things that happen, and you all remember this very well, some of you do. When you first hear the gospel, and her first hear of election, first hear of sovereign grace and God's freedom, the first thing people start saying is, I never heard anything like that. My mom and daddy didn't teach nothing like that. What about my granny? What about my mama? Somebody asked, if you was to want a message sent from heaven, what would you want them to say to you? Well, there ain't nobody in heaven going to speak to me except the Lord Jesus Christ. My mama's not going to. My daddy's not going to. Nobody's going to speak to me from heaven but God Himself through Christ. People say, oh, mama's looking down. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my. Tradition of man. And most people, they misinterpret the Bible. Like, people ask me all the time. I've talked to two people last week. And talking to us about God. And that man asked me, and the only reason they ask these questions, like he said, you know, are you Baptist? What's the difference between being what you are and what a Southern Baptist is? He didn't want to know the answer to that. He just wanted to be religious and let me know that he is religious. That he attended a church. That's all he wanted to do. He didn't care about what I believed. He didn't care about what I thought. Because he's going to continue going exactly where he was. I told him exactly what salvation is. I told him how God has to save a man. I said, you're dead in trespasses and sin. A dead man can't do nothing. He can't believe. He can't repent. He can't come to Christ. He can't hear. He can't see. He can't move. And I told him that. But you think he'd go come here and hear the gospel? No. He's going to go right back where he goes, right down here, this place down here, where they're going to have the Lord's enactment of the Lord's Supper at Easter. They're going to have 12 people sit down. Somebody's going to play Christ. Somebody's going to play Peter. Somebody's going to play John. Somebody's going to play James. And somebody's going to have to be a Judas. And they're going to put that on down there. They're going to have a great big long table. They've been advertising it for a long time. That's vain worship. That's the tradition of men. That's misinterpreting of the Scriptures. There's nothing dishonoring more to God than taking the things of the Bible and using them to deceive men and women and make them think they're doing God a service. These fellows think, I'm doing God a service right here. I tell you what, we're doing God a service. We're putting Christ in His place. We're telling these folks exactly what's going on around here. That fella, this Christ fella, he don't do what we do. Something's got to be wrong with him. Oh my. But oh my, they value tradition, but above God's Word. Look what I said down in verse 13. Making the Word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you've delivered, and many such like things you do. What they said is that your tradition nullifies the Word of God, makes it void. Hey, you don't have to pay attention to what God says. You got your tradition. Don't even read the Bible. We already got it figured out. We know how we're going to live. We know how we're going to act. Oh, my. But oh my, what saith the Scriptures? You know, the Scriptures, that's what we got to go by. God, let God be true and every man a liar. The Bible, let me tell you something, these Scriptures right here, from Genesis to Revelation, bloodstained book, that's our only rule of faith is right here. The only thing we're to believe comes out of this book. And the only way we're to live comes out of this book. Not what I tell you to do, not what some church tells you to do, not some what preacher tells you to do, but if we, this is what we believe, this is where we get our faith, and this is where we get our practice. Huh? And I tell you, that's, and then look what he said up here in verse 7. He said, oh my, he said, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. In verse 8 he said, laying aside the commandments of God. Let's take God's word. Just lay it aside. Let's just set it over here out of the way. We're not going to pay attention to it. Just put it out of the way. Just lay it out of the way. You think I can preach now without having the Bible up here? I can go on what I got to say. But that's exactly what they said. Just lay it aside. Just put it out of the way. You know how many places people go and they don't even bring a Bible? When they bring one, they got one that you know you can't make head nor tails out of because it's one of them perversions, not a real book. And oh my, they lay aside the commandment of God and hold their tradition. Teaching for doctrines, the commandments of men. And Isaiah said, they honor me with their lips. How do they honor him with their lips? You know, they say things. They use the right scriptures. You know, a lot. They use right scriptural words. They'll say, they'll talk about God. They'll mention Christ. They'll talk about the Holy Spirit. They'll mention grace. They'll mention blood. They'll mention faith. They'll mention repentance. They'll mention election. But they all have different definitions of these words. Such different definitions. Oh my goodness. Who was I reading yesterday? A fellow was, a guy, you know, talking about Spurgeon. That's who somebody's talking about. And they said, you reckon Spurgeon was saved? And the fellow said, if he wasn't, he deserved to be. What do you want to talk about somebody died in 1892? You know, they started preaching back in the 1840s. And they, you know, what difference does it make? But they said, well, if he wasn't, he deserved to be. That's a different definition of grace. And one thing Spurgeon did teach, he did preach grace. Free grace, sovereign grace, almighty grace, powerful grace, saving grace, electing grace. Oh, he preached it. Oh my, but if he didn't, he deserved it. Oh, but their lips, they honored him with their lips. Oh, yes, they come in and said, oh, I'm saved. I believe in grace. Oh, I do. I believe in grace. I believe Jesus is just all right with me. Oh, they give different definitions of these words. But their heart, you know, their heart was far from him. You know what your heart is? Your heart is who you are. Your heart's your mind. Your heart's your affections. Your heart's your will. The heart is the real you when you're alone. That's what the heart is. The real you when you're alone. These fellows, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth spoke. And out of their heart, they found fault. Out of their heart, they held your traditions. Out of their hearts, they didn't care about God's word. Out of their hearts. That's what they were. That's what they really are. And you know, when the real you is when it talks about the heart. And what you are when nobody else sees what you really are. That's what the heart is. And our Lord Jesus Christ said in 8:9, He said, you lay aside the commandment of God. You hold the tradition of men. As the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things do you. And listen to this. And he said unto them, full well, you reject the commandment of God. Reject God's word? Reject what God says? Huh? Really? That's what he says. You reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. Oh my. That's an awful thing. That's an awful. Reject the Word of God. Reject the Word of God. Reject God's commandment and keep your tradition. Oh, I've seen a lot of that stuff go on in my life. But now let me hurry up through these next few verses. And he says, and this is to keep your tradition. Then he goes, and over in Matthew it says, God said. Here it says, Moses said. Honor your father and your mother. This is the fifth commandment. That's what it is. Honor your father and your mother, and whoso curses father or mother, let him die the death. Oh, my. And if you don't honor your father and your mother, and when you talk about honoring your father and your mother, that means respect them, love them, take care of them. You know, they took care of us all the time we was growing up. When they get old and they go back, we need to take care of them. That's what he said. That's what Moses said. That's what he means. And oh my, love them, respect them, care for them. And he said, if you don't do that for your mother and father, let them die. Just let them die. But then look what they taught. But you say, if a man shall say to his father, go to his mama and his daddy and say, listen, I've give a gift to the church. I've give a gift, a sacrifice to the church. I gave it to the rabbis and I gave it to the Pharisees. I gave a gift. I gave everything that I should take care of you with. I gave it as a gift. That is to say, by a gift. And whatsoever you might get from me, mom and daddy, whatever you might get from me, mother and father, he said, I've done give it away. I don't have to be responsible for you anymore. And then he says, he shall be free. And you allow him, or not let him, or don't cause him no more to do aught for his mother or father. You know how many people put their mom and daddy or grandma or grandpa in a funeral in a nursing home and walk off and leave them, never go back? And that's what he's saying here. I'm a firm believer in this. My mom and daddy, neither one raised me. After I left, I was about 10 years old when I hit the road. And they sent me out. But I tell you this, if you got a mother and you got a father that's raised you and been good to you and been faithful to you and cared for you and taught you and instruct you, you love them, you respect them, and when they get older, you see that they don't hurt for nothing. And keep them in your home if you have to. Move them in with you or go live with them. But you take care of your mom and daddy. There's people here that they're mothers and daddies. And I mean, you love them. And I tell you what, you take care of them. Don't leave the state to take care of them. Don't leave a nursing home to take care of them. Don't, you know, do it. Do it. It's Rick Garrett right now. He's taking care of his wife, taking care of his mother. He had to leave last week to get right home real quick to take care of his mama. Sit with his mama. That's a wonderful thing to do. It's a right thing to do. And a fella don't do that, he ain't worth the salt goes in his biscuit. And Micah goes on to say here, you say, don't do nothing else for your mom and your daddy. And what he says, and you, by doing that, you make the Word of God of none effect. Oh, through your tradition that you gave to everybody. Huh? Oh, my. Well, I said all I want to say on that subject. May God use it to His glory and our good. Our Lord, our God, our blessed Savior, What an encouragement. What a comfort your word gives us. Lord, let men do what they will. Let them do what they will, go where they will, and act the way they will. But, oh God, keep our hearts believing. Don't let us just honor you with our lips, though our lips wants to honor you. Our heart wants to glorify you. Oh, we don't want to be hypocrites. Oh, Lord, we don't want to be hypocrites. We don't want to worship in vain. So, Lord, save us from ourselves. Save us from this old flesh. And God bless the gospel today as it run. God bless it to the heart, the mind, the understanding. Bring glory to yourself through us here at this congregation of believers. And do it for Christ's sake. Amen. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I see him. Well, see you tonight, 6 o'clock, God willing.